Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Jeremiah chapter number 20. Jeremiah chapter number 20. It's a little reminiscent the first time I came. And I got up late then, and I'll get up late now. I wanted to let you go a little early tonight, but I don't know if that's going to happen now. But we'll see what we can do. Jeremiah chapter number 20. Anybody ever have a book of the Bible that they struggle to get through? Okay, so Job, I think we'd all be on that, okay? You know, the first two chapters, fantastic. The middle 40, last two, good, right? And that's just calling it real. I mean, some people enjoy Job. I enjoy it when it's done. But some, there's some, I think in our Bible reading, a lot of us start in the beginning, you know, the first of the year, all right, let's get through it. Man, we scoot through. Man, the first books, they're action-packed. They're easy to read. Genesis is a breeze, right? You can sit down and read that. But then when I'm starting getting the prophets, it's like, okay, Lord, help me get through Isaiah. Okay, great. There's some good stuff in there. And then Jeremiah, Lord, what is it talking about? And I don't know if you, I guess it's me just speaking honestly that I struggle sometimes when I read my Bible in certain books. And for some reason, I've taken extra time in Jeremiah, Isaiah and Jeremiah, because sometimes I tend to rush through them, and there's a lot to be had in the book of Jeremiah. And I guess last week sometime I was reading through this chapter, Jeremiah chapter 20, and just some things stuck out to me that I had never seen before. I'm so thankful that the Word of God is alive, that it's not just a regular book, it's a living book, and so you can read through it 100 times, but the 101st time you read through it, you saw something different, or the Holy Spirit took something and applied it to your life a little bit different. I'm thankful for that. And so I was, you know, percolating on those things that I'd read in chapter 20, and then we were riding around and talking to Jordan, and then she was saying something about someone else that had fallen by the wayside, and then those things began to really, God began to burden my heart for that. There's been a lot of people that have darkened the door of the church and had been in church for a long time, and yet then they what? Then they bail. Have you ever noticed that? They just bail out. I think for me, what is even disheartening for that, more for me, is those that are in the ministry side of things. Yeah. They come and they are fired up for the ministry for a good little while. I in college, that we had a big freshman class, and that got whittled down to just about nothing the time I graduated. And you know, you ever just wonder what happened? What happened in the midst of their journey? What happened in the midst of your journey? And Jeremiah, if we were going to put down reasons to quit, Jeremiah would have several of them. If we were going to put down many reasons to quit, Jeremiah's would surpass probably all of ours, just to be honest. And yet he did not quit. He did not quit. And I think we can find the reason why here in Jeremiah chapter number 20. Let's read a few verses here. We'll pray and then we'll go on. And my heart is, maybe you've been hurt before. I don't know. I figure all of us have. And Jeremiah was hurt in chapter 20. And I've noticed a lot of people that get hurt, maybe in the ministry, get hurt in church, or and we've seen, there seems like there's a plethora of people that are getting hurt or said they were hurt and now they've bailed out and have thrown away everything that they said they once believed. You know, why is that? In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 1, and Pashur the son of Emor the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Okay, so what did Jeremiah prophesy? Look back at chapter verse 15 of chapter 19. You should be right there. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns and all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they have hardened their necks, that they may not hear my words. And so the prophecy that was given to Jeremiah, that Jeremiah was supposed to give forth, was not that of fluffy and bunnies. It wasn't just all fun. It was, hey, listen, you've hardened your necks, and so now the judgment of God is going to come upon you. And here, the one who is coming against Jeremiah, we find that he's the priest, verse number 2. Then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks.
Then said Jeremiah to him, "The Lord hath not called thy name Pasher, but Magdat. And for thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends, that they shall fall by the sword of their enemies, and thine eyes shall behold it. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon, and shall slay them with the sword. Moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city, and all the labors thereof, and all the precious things thereof, and all the treasure of the kings of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them, and take them, and carry them to Babylon. And thou, Pasher, and all that dwell in thine house shall go into captivity, and thou shalt come to Babylon, and there thou shalt die, and shalt be buried there, thou and all thy friends to whom thou hast prophesied lies." And then verse number 7, he starts to speak to himself. "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me." No doubt everyone mocked Jeremiah. The priest, the governor of the house of the Lord was mocking, insomuch that he put Jeremiah in the stocks. Jeremiah was bringing his complaint unto God. Anybody ever complained unto God? Yeah, he does say, "Bring your complaint unto him." He wants to hear it. That's how great our God is. He wants to hear your troubles. He wants to hear your complaints. In verse number 8, "For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily." And this was what Jeremiah said. Then I said, "I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." But it did not end there. He said this, "But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." If we could, just for the next few moments, I'd like to speak on this subject. Keep burning, don't burn out. Keep burning, don't burn out. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the evening. Lord, I ask that this would be a speedy time in which you could do a work. We'd not be here real long. And we'll thank you for that. Lord, I ask that we'll be here long enough to hear from you. No doubt there's some people who need some encouragement. Maybe someone listening online needs some encouragement. I don't know. But Lord, would you help us to keep burning and not burn out? In your son's name, amen. If we could look just for a minute, well, I want to look at the prophet Jeremiah. Hold your place in Jeremiah chapter 20 and turn to Jeremiah chapter number 1. The prophet. No doubt that Jeremiah was called. He was called. He was in the place that God had him. In so much that God said, "Hey, listen, you're going to say what I tell you to say, and you're not going to be confounded to their faces, because if you are confounded to their faces, then I'm going to confound you before them." Meaning, listen, if you're afraid of them, I'm going to make them afraid of you, or you afraid of them. So Jeremiah, I mean, he was this prophet. Was he there by accident? You have to ask yourself that question. It's important to note. Was he there by accident? We find in Jeremiah chapter number 1 and verse number 5. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." So we find here that Jeremiah was given his purpose at the very beginning. He was not a prophet of his own will. He was not a prophet of his own doing. He was not a prophet of his parents' doing. No. Why was he a prophet that was proclaiming the message of God? God called him. God called him. It's very important. If we want to keep burning and not burn out, we have to make sure that we're doing what God would very much have us to do. God has something for each and every one of us. You can say, you can put your name in there. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." God knew you. God had a plan, and he has a purpose for your life. Yes. Jeremiah was not there by accident. He was not there at that time by accident. He was not preaching there by accident. He was not there against pastor by accident. No, why? He was called of God. He had purpose. Do us well to remember that we have purpose before God. Purpose, what does purpose do? Purpose sometimes changes because God has different times and different roles for our lives. But nonetheless, Jeremiah was a prophet because God purposed it. God purposed it. And thankfully, Jeremiah understood that. I think we underestimate the power of purpose that God has for each one of our lives. Somehow we deemed it an accident. Somehow because we are backslidden, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. No, listen, when God has called you, walk worthy of the vocation therewith. God has called you. And because of his purpose,
He prophesied. He preached.
See, how did he preach?
I don't know. I know they didn't like it. So I don't know if he yelled or talked like this. I don't know. It did not matter. He said exactly what God wanted him to say. Nothing more, nothing less. Jeremiah was not there by accident. He was not in that situation by accident. But he had a purpose.
We find that in this idea of burning out. Anybody ever heard someone say, man, I'm just burnt out? I think we've all heard that, right? Well, I'm just burnt out. Why are you burnt out? Did your purpose for God end? Anyway, we don't start with a purpose, then we're not ever gonna make it. You say, well, I'm just burnt out. And this new crown that is a little bit soft. I'm not gonna lie, they're a little bit soft, but nonetheless. They say, well, I'm burnt out because of this, this, and this. Some of them are very valid reasons, but that is not a reason to burn out on Christ. So we find to keep burning, don't burn out. He was a prophet by purpose. We find here that we find the persecutor. I'm going to look just for a minute at the persecutor. Because sometimes the persecutor in your Christian life is harder to handle than other persecutors in your life. Jeremiah was called of God, yes or no? And yet his persecutor was a priest. You didn't tell me that's not hard to handle. It says in verse number 1, chapter 20, verse number 1, now Pashur, the son of Emer, the priest. You know, sometimes when we're in this life and we're persecuted, I don't know how that persecution is, and I don't know how it is meant to be, and I don't know, sometimes it's on purpose and sometimes it's on accident. When we have a crowd that is splitting off and say they were really done wrong at the old paths, if whatever you want to call it, and there may be some right to that, but that doesn't mean it's okay to bail out of that. Sometimes the persecutor is harder to handle. Anybody ever been done wrong by family? Anybody ever been done wrong by McDonald's? You're laughing because every one of us have been done wrong. And yet we go back. You say, what's the big deal about that? You don't care as much at McDonald's because it's not necessarily personally attached to your life. When someone that is personal to you persecutes you, you find that yourself, I'm bailing, I'm done. It's not right. Why? We need to keep burning and not burn out. I've heard it many times over. Well, I'm just burnt out. So-and-so did me wrong. So? Here's what I'm finding. When someone that is doing wrong, and maybe it's in the religious field, okay? And let's just make that broad. And someone that claims to be a Christian. We can just put it in the Christian realm. And I'm done with that church. I'm burnt out. Man, that pastor, I'm burnt out. The lady that we're talking about with Jordan, she, at one point, she was in the ministry, and now she don't even go to church. She's got burnt out. Did God actually have a purpose for your life? I understand that the persecutor is hard. It was the persecution by the priest to Jeremiah was hard. What did he do? He put him in the stocks. Well, that sounds like fun. He put him in the stocks just for doing what God asked him to do. He put him in the stocks. Can you imagine the amount of people that walked by and wagged their heads and made fun of Jeremiah for that? Oh, you don't know what you're talking about. No doubt he was physically abused. No doubt we can buy the context of Scripture. He was spiritually abused. No doubt. And I would figure at some point he was emotionally abused. And if we're not careful, listen to me now, we're not careful, we'll allow every one of those reasons to make us burn out, bail out on God. Because somehow we have turned the fight that God has us, the war that God has us, horizontal, like somehow it's between me and so-and-so brother or me and so-and-so sister. But we have to remember that it's Paul said to the Holy Spirit, to the church of Ephesus, hey, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. This is not a physical battle to be had. No, it's a spiritual battle that we need to keep fighting. And when we make it a physical battle, we will burn out. We will burn out.
Jeremiah had every reason because of the persecutor to bail. He had a better reason than most people I hear. Like, I quit. Why you quit? Okay, let's tell Jeremiah that. So that's Jeremiah. The same God that called Jeremiah a prophet is the same God that called me to be a preacher. It's no different. God is not a respecter of persons. It's not okay to burn out. We need to keep burning. So we have the prophet. And we have the persecutor. And here's what happens after the persecutor. You have this proclamation that Jeremiah said, hey, listen, I'm done. I'm out. You can have it. I quit. Isn't that what he says? Verse number 9, look there with me. Then I said, Jeremiah speaking to the Holy Spirit, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. I quit. God, I am not preaching ever again. Is that not what he said? And there are a host of people who say, I quit. I'm never going back to church. I quit. I'm never going to do ministry ever again. I quit. I'm never going to be a preacher. If that's the way Christians are going to treat me, that's the way church is going to treat me, hey, listen, I'm out. And they make this proclamation. I quit. I'm out. And what do? They burn out. You wonder what the nation of Israel would look like if that was actually what happened to Jeremiah. You have to wonder what they would have missed out on hearing from God, from the mouth of Jeremiah, because he quit, because a priest was mean to him. This is what he says. I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more of his name. He says, I quit, but I just can't. Man, I want to quit. I don't want to preach anymore. I don't want to mention his name. I quit. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, meaning, hey, I tried. I did everything within me to quit. I meant the words, but God's word was so strong in me that I could not stay anymore. And keep burning. Don't burn out. Jeremiah tried to proclaim, I quit. He tried. But he said, I just can't. I just can't. And so when you look, why are people falling out by the wayside? Why are preachers falling out by the wayside? Why are Christians falling out by the wayside? And they say, hey, listen, I'm just done. I'm done with that crowd. I don't want to be around them anymore. Hey, they're not very nice. Hey, they don't act like Christ. Hey, they were mean to me. I'm just done. I'm burnt out. And they meant it. You say, hey, where'd you go? Hello? You preached all that time. Hey, where you at? Hello? Jeremiah tried. But he said, I'm weary with forbearing. I can't. I can't not preach anymore. I'm going to continue on preaching. So he didn't burn out. He kept burning. We find that there's a preeminent presence and we're going to be done. We find here that what kept Jeremiah going when there were persecutors? What happened? What kept Jeremiah going when he wanted to proclaim that I quit? What kept Jeremiah going even though he knew that there's a purpose, but hey, I just can't do it anymore? We find that the word of God was a fire deep inside of him. He said, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Turn with me, please, to the right, Jeremiah chapter number 22. Jeremiah 23, verse number 29. Look what Jeremiah, through the Holy Ghost, says about the word of God. It is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like as a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. And I realize your heart can get hard, and I realize things can get rubbled around your heart, but listen, if you let the Word of God do what the Word of God can only do, it will burn the edges off, and it'll break the hardness about your heart so that you can continue on for God. Continue on burning. Keep burning. Don't burn out. Turn with me, please, to Hebrews 4.
Hebrews chapter number 4. Keep your place in Jeremiah, please. No, you can let it go. That's fine. Hebrews chapter number 4. Says in verse number 12, for the word of God is quick and is powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hey, listen, the word of God is a fire, and the word of God is a hammer. The word of God can pierce down through, and it can help you to keep on keeping on. Peter said to the Holy Ghost, we have a more sure word of prophecy. It's the word of God. It's the word of God. See, why are those people bailing? It's because they dropped the word of God somewhere in the midst of their service. Somewhere in the midst of the ministry, the word of God is pushed to the wayside and they begin to do the work of God in the flesh. No wonder you're going to burn out. No wonder you're going to bail out. You don't have the word that'll keep you there. Jeremiah said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with these people. I'm done preaching. But I cannot. Because the word of God is such a fire in me. I've got to keep on preaching. You want to keep burning? Make much of the word of God. Love it. Read it. Learn it. Keep it. Memorize it. The word of God. Say, I want to keep burning. I want to be something for God in 20 years. I want to be something for God in 10 years. I want to be something for God next year. Hey, listen, make much of God's word. That's what kept Jeremiah going. Could he have burned out? Well, sure. He had every reason to burn out. He even tried to quit. I quit, God. I don't know if God laughed at that moment. I'm not for sure. How long did he quit? I don't know. It was all in the same verse. I mean, I'm not for sure on that. There was a period, so we'll just give him like till lunchtime. I don't know, okay? He wanted to quit, but he said, I just cannot. We have the preeminent presence of the Word of God in his life. Then we have the preeminent presence of the closeness of God. We find in verse number 11 of Jeremiah 20, it says this, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble. They shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. See, what kept Jeremiah burning? He had every reason to bail out. He had every reason to burn out. What kept Jeremiah going? Well, hey, listen, it was the word of God that was preeminent in his life and also the closeness of God. Every Christian should have a closeness of God that when you have an issue, when you have a complaint, and when you have a persecutor, you can take it to the foot of God and lay your complaint out before Him. This is what, if I could find it, I was trying to preach and find it at the same time. Obviously, I'm not good at two things at once. This is what Paul said. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, in verse number 16, he said this, and at first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to the charge. He said, listen, they let me go. I was all by myself, and it's okay. I don't want God to hold him accountable for that. He said this, verse number 17, notwithstanding, even though I was left alone, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You want to make it? You want to keep on burning? I'm not saying everything's going to be full of daisies and everything's going to have roses and sunshine every day. I'm not trying to paint a picture that, hey, listen, everything's going to be rosy. Hey, but you can continue to make it even in the midst of great trial, even in the midst of great affliction. You say, well, I've been hurt. I get it. I'm sure you have. And those that are in religious authority, they will stand before God for that. But there's not a reason to burn out. It's just not. You say, well, you don't know how bad I've been hurt. I get it. And I'm sure you've been hurt extremely much. I'm not diminishing that. I'm not diminishing your hurt. I guarantee you it's real. But it's not a reason to burn out. It's not a reason to bail out. Because I can tell you this, the Word of God did not let you down. I can tell you this, God did not let you down. People may have let you down. Church may have let you down. Hey, people may have let you down. McDonald's surely did let you down. But you do not have to quit. Amen. There's no reason to quit if you believe that God has a purpose for your life. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, just like Jeremiah was. I don't know what your persecutors are. It makes no difference. Some of you may have been physically abused. Some of you may have been spiritually abused. Some of you may have been emotionally abused. Some of you may have been, God forbid, sexually abused. Or maybe all the above. But you don't have to burn out. You don't have to burn out on God.
Amen.
You do not have to. Keep burning. Keep burning. Keep burning. If you have a closeness with the Word of God, in the times that it gets tough, you say, hey, listen, I'm done. The Word of God is a flame of fire. That will start to burn away at your life and at your heart and at your desire. Say, okay, God, let's do it again. And I have to burn out the closeness of God that you can have with Him. The relationship that you can have with Him will keep you steady through the hardest times. So to all those that have been done wrong, keep burning. All those that once had a desire for the ministry but bailed out, keep burning. Keep going. Fall in love with the Word of God.
Amen.
Fall in love with the closeness of God. Heavenly Father, we sure do need you tonight.
My sin.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree.
His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing.
History. He's the air that I breathe, uncertain times, and more I find that I'm aware of just how fragile life can be. Oh, I wanna tell the world I found the love that turned my life around. They need to know that they can taste and see. Now every day I'm praying just to give my heart away. I want to live for Jesus so that someone else might see that He is everything to me. More than a story, more than words on a page of history. That I breathe, the water I thirst for, and the ground beneath my feet. He's everything.
And looking back over my life at the end, I'll go to meet you, saying you've been
everything to me. More than a story, more than words on a page of history. You're the air that I breathe, the water I thirst for, and the ground beneath my feet. You're everything.